Hi, this is Shannon Storms-Bedore, Real Housewife of Orange County and entrepreneur. When my company, Real for Real, started selling our health products online, we struggled to ship our orders out quickly and without error. But ShipStation's simple dashboard made it easy to manage orders from every marketplace. Plus, with ShipStation, we get up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. Automate your shipping with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/audio for a free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
All righty, how you doing? Hour number four of our radio program. It is the Zach Elb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Rally Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. You will hear our conversation that we had earlier with Coach Prime, primetime, Deion Sanders, now with the Colorado football team, the Buffaloes of Colorado. Their first game of the season, 10 days away, up against a team that was the runner-up last year in college football, getting the NCAA title game in TCU, the Horned Frogs. So we will have a conversation with Deion Sanders, the Hall of Famer, coming up 40 minutes from now. You do not want to miss it. All righty, first up, let's get to some of the biggest storylines in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So Hard Knocks last night was a snooze fest. First two episodes are really good. Last night, like, I see some Jet fans saying, oh, it was a tremendous episode of Hard Knocks. Really? I get it. If you're a Jet fan, right, you throw your pom-poms around, you go, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. But not everything has to be great. And Jet fans are usually pretty good for calling it how they see it because they haven't had a lot of good things to talk about. But last night was like, ugh, so boring. But here's Randall Cobb relaying a message to the wide receivers. Probably the best part of Hard Knocks last night. And also Mike Evans calling friend of show Quinton Williams fat. That wasn't nice by Mike Evans. What's up with NFL players these days? You have Ryan Clark calling Tua Tagovailoa fat, and then Mike Evans calls Quinton Williams fat as well. But here is Randall Cobb relaying the message to the wide receivers that Aaron Rodgers doesn't like the mental mistakes. This is HBO.
I was just talking to 12 or 8, and he was just telling me, you know, we had a lot of mistakes in our room today. Just basic stuff, little things, right? Like, we can't have that. And it's all cool right now, but I'm telling you, one day he's going to lose his. It's going to happen if it continues to go the way it's going right now. Because if he don't trust you, he's not going to throw you the ball. I can promise you that. If he don't trust you, he don't not like throwing interceptions. So if he can't trust that you're going to run the right route, he's not going to throw it. It's just a matter of time. Continue to work and stay in your book and stay locked in so we can get to where we want to go.
Here's my question, though, Hickey. Who's the wide receiver that he does not trust? And is that wide receiver of any significance of what the Jets are trying to accomplish? Like, Garrett Wilson, he trusts. That's been made abundantly clear. He's compared him to Devontae Adams. You know he trusts Randall Cobb. You know he trusts Alan Lazard. So you look around. Is it Mecole Hardman? Outside of, like, Corey Davis just retired today. So who else is the guy that he doesn't trust that maybe really makes you move the needle in terms of name? I think that's just Randall Cobb, where you go through training camp, and this is what every idiot in the media does. They overreact to things in training camp. Every idiot in the media does this. Training camp is practice. You're not always at your best in practice. And just because Aaron Rodgers was annoyed with something that day doesn't mean as if all of a sudden you have to press the panic button and there's this big problem with the New York Jets. But give me your response here to what you just heard from one Randall Cobb.
I mean, I don't think that he's lost trust with someone right now. But again, we've seen Aaron Rodgers, not exactly in previous years, adapt to new teammates and new situations very well, very quickly.
It's not a great this time.
And so far, do I think he's lost trust with Garrett Wilson? No. But you also have to remember, everyone else is kind of, for the first time, coming on the same page, learning a new playbook, learning how to play with a new quarterback. I think there's going to be a lot of bumps in the road. And Randall Cobb, I think, is right now, while Aaron Rodgers has been all fine and dandy and all nice and all calm, we have seen the past him kind of get upset. And I think Randall Cobb is kind of saying, hey, look, a storm could be coming if things don't get together quickly.
And honestly, I have no problem with a quarterback ripping into his team. No problem with it whatsoever. Garrett Wilson put up 1,100 yards last year with no quarterback. He's going to be fine. He's going to put up monster numbers as long as he's healthy. Aaron Rodgers says his temper has simmered down just a little bit opposite of what you heard from Randall Cobb.
Cobb said some things about how, you know, you gotta watch out because, you know, eight's going to snap at some point. I don't feel like I'm the snapping type anymore. I mean, I'm going to raise my level of intensity, but that doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, embarrass anybody. I don't want to do that. I want to make guys feel like they're a part of this and they're going to get that respect and that kindness. There's going to be accountability, though, for sure.
What'd you roll your eyes at, by the way? You had a big eye roll right there when you were listening to that Rodgers audio.
This is the same guy, like 5 months ago, was on Pat McAfee's show screaming a bench receivers on the Packers.
Mm-hmm. You know what the difference is? You know why he's calm?
Exactly. He did the opposite of what he said. Oh, I don't do that anymore. Well, you did it the last season.
You're missing something here.
What is that?
You know why he's simmered down?
Why is that?
Because he goes to work and he's actually happy to be there. He hated Gutekunst. He tried to show up LaFleur at the end. He was playing all these games, and now he goes to a place where he knows he's king, and he knows everyone loves him there, and everyone believes in him there, and he's happy to be there at work, and mentally that has to put you in a much better spot. That's what I hear there from Aaron Rodgers, why he's in a calmer spot, because he has to deal with all the crap.
If he's happy to be there and takes it easy, then, again, Jets fans, temper your expectations.
Why?
If he's happy to be there and he loses that fire to win.
There's a difference in losing your fire and then just simmering down. He's not as on edge, and maybe little things that shouldn't have been big things the last 2 years, they were made into big things because he was so annoyed about little things in Green Bay because he thought he was getting disrespected. Here's a big red Andy Reid. Chris Jones tweeting out that he's willing to hold out until week 8, and he has all the money to have that holdout go into effect. Andy Reid says the team will move forward with or without Chris Jones.
There's been no communication, so I don't know what's going to go there, but whatever happens, happens. I mean, not there, the game goes on, right? So that's how it works.
I love that answer from Andy Reid, Hickster. I think that's the perfect answer from Andy Reid. He knows he has the best player in football in Patrick Mahomes, which you obviously like Chris Jones, sure, but if you had no communication with him, you're a coach. You don't have to sit there and dwell on someone that's not there, even though clearly you'd rather have Chris Jones there. I'm fine with that answer by Andy Reid.
Classic coach answer, because you know what they always say, hey, we only coach the guys that are in the room. We're not going to worry about anyone that's not here. And that's Andy Reid basically saying a little differently, maybe a little sternly to send a message to get talks going faster on both ends. But he's one of those where out of sight, out of mind.
And also, you don't need to interpret that saying, oh, that's a disrespectful answer from Andy Reid when talking about Chris Jones. This is not Chris Jones doesn't like Kansas City. This is not he doesn't like the organization. He just wants more money. And if you give him the money that he wants, he'll walk in and be happy, and this will all be gone. So let's hear how Andy, we just heard how Andy Reid handled that. Let's hear how Kyle Shanahan answered when he was asked if he's concerned about the Nick Bosa holdout.
No, it's going pretty much exactly how I expected it to go. So no, it's kind of just been exactly what I thought.
You expected it to go this long?
Yeah, I had a feeling it would.
When do you expect it to end?
Hopefully sooner than later.
Seems like Kyle Shanahan always has the answers to the test before the test is even administered there, Hickster.
I like Kyle Shanahan a lot. There is, without a doubt, a big arrogance with him. I think it's part of the reason why he's successful, but he definitely...
But you have to be somewhat arrogant to be successful.
He doesn't hide it either. He does not hide it. Clearly in that answer.
My favorite was when he said we could all be dead tomorrow when talking about the quarterback situation a few years ago.
Where that, Jimmy G can't name the starter because he could die tomorrow.
Yeah, that was... I think maybe one of the more creative and better answers I've ever heard from a head coach. Here is Ryan Clark calling Tua Tagovailoa fat on NFL Live.
I'm going to tell you what he wasn't doing. He wasn't in the gym. I bet you that.
Come on,
he wasn't with me.
He might have spent a lot of time in the tattoo parlor. He was not at the dinner table eating what the nutritionist had advised.
Oh, my.
He looks happy.
Okay.
He is thick.
He's thick.
Yeah, he's built like... girl work at Onyx in Atlanta right now on the bottom.
Come on now.
Get to the show.
I've never heard an NFL analyst refer to a quarterback as someone that looks like a girl that works in Onyx in the club in Atlanta. You may not like what he said, and it's not right what Ryan Clark said, but I think we could all admit that is hilarious what Ryan Clark said. Here is Tua Tagovailoa firing back, saying, Ryan Clark, you better watch your back.
He probably knows more about me than I know about myself. I don't know. It's a little weird when other people are talking about other people when they're not that person. So, I don't know, it's just a little weird. I come back. I my background is, like, I come from a Samoan family. Like, respect is everything. But, you know, it does get to a point where, hey, you know, a little easy on that, buddy, because, you know, I think we're pretty tough-minded people, and if we need to get scrappy, we can get scrappy too. Just saying.
A little easy on that, buddy. I like that. A lot of fire there from Tua. Here is Tua saying, Ryan Clark, keep my name out your mouth.
I mean, I think we all worked hard throughout the offseason. And I'm not someone to talk about myself the entire time, but I mean, it takes a lot. You think I wanted to build all this muscle? Like, not to some extent. Like, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be a little lighter. There's a mixture of things that people don't understand, that people don't know about, that are talked about, that go behind the scenes. So, you know, I'd appreciate if you kept my name out your mouth. That's what I'd say.
Let's go to Jerry Jones. I don't think anyone has advocated for the Cowboys to trade for Jonathan Taylor, but here's Jerry Jones saying the Cowboys don't need him.
The way our young backs are playing and the way they've some of the good things they've done since they've been here, I'm very comfortable with where we are with our backs right now. So without getting into specifically addressing the player, him, or any other running back, I think we've saw some good things the other night. We've seen some good things in training camp. I feel good about our running back position if we didn't add anybody.
And the Colts put a deadline out there that if you want him and if you want to trade for him, we're putting a deadline out there. Talk about Indianapolis Colts of Tuesday of next week. Here is Reggie Bush, who has filed a defamation lawsuit against the NCAA. He says he can't be a part of the USC program until he receives his Heisman Trophy back.
I got dreams of coming back in the stadium. And running out of that tunnel with the football team. I got dreams of walking back in here, seeing my jersey, my banner, right down there next to the rest of the Heisman Trophy winners. But I can't rightfully do that without my Heisman Trophy.
So here's what I don't get, and I say this as a Heisman Trophy voter. The Heisman Trophy Trust says until he's acknowledged by the NCAA and his records are reinstated, they can't give him the Heisman Trophy back. Even though the Heisman Trophy Trust is their different entity. My question just is, Hickey, why? I think this is the Heisman Trophy Trust trying to put the decision in the hands of the NCAA. But if they want to give him his Heisman Trophy back, just give him the Heisman Trophy back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why it's been so long. This is still going on. Like, why hasn't this been solved? He's stupid. Allowed, like, he wasn't allowed to be a part of USC's program for a while.
But he could broadcast
that ended
for
Fox. In 2020. So when that moratorium, if you will, ended in 2020. That should have just ended everything right there. Okay, let's give everything back and let's kind of go forward. Now he's allowed to be associated with the USC, but still can't have his number on the stadium and his Heisman Trophy acknowledged. Makes no sense.
Especially when now all the players are getting paid. Reggie Bush says the NCAA claims against him are false.
The NCAA has made a statement about me, accusing me of engaging in a pay-for-play arrangement, which is 100% not true. Not only is it not true, but there's no evidence to even support that claim.
So he's saying he didn't take money to play for USC, where we know the money he took was from an agent or a marketing guru kind of guy, and that just went to him and his family, but he was already at USC. It was just so that he would sign with that agent, which he didn't, after college when he was getting ready to declare for the NFL. I was talking to Ricky Williams last week. He's won a Heisman Trophy. And Ricky Williams told me Reggie Bush should get his Heisman Trophy back. I was watching that Netflix documentary on Johnny Manziel, who also won a Heisman last week. If he still has his Heisman, which I believe he should, man, Reggie Bush should get his Heisman Trophy back. Where do you stand on that issue, being a Heisman Trophy winner?
Man, I think especially now with the NIL deal and as the facts come out about Reggie's situation, it's silly that you know, people haven't said something and given him back the trophy. He earned it, and I don't think he did anything wrong. And now that, you know, everyone's getting paid, it seems silly.
100% agree with Ricky Williams. Let's go to Pete Carroll. He was on Richard Sherman's podcast, and he went into detail about the goal line interception in Super Bowl 49 when the Butler did it.
When we got down there, if you remember, we had one timeout. Mm. And so as soon as we got there, I said, one of these plays, we're going to have to throw it to get all four plays. Because I'm always in, make sure that we have a chance to get all four shots.
Right.
So we run the first play. And I think what happened is Bill's late. He sends in the goal line team. Mm-hmm. And we had already sent in 11.
Right.
That went through the play callers. Mm-hmm. And that's what led them to throw it on that down.
Right.
It had nothing to do with anything else. Right. We'd practiced it a million times. It was just the way we had prepared. So I was rock solid on the philosophy of it. Mm-hmm. Right. It just was the worst play that could ever happen. You know? And the guy makes a play of a lifetime.
I
a play of a career for everybody's career, really. And it turned all of that so dark so instantly. Yeah. And if you remember, my moment was, I bend down and think, oh, I got to take this. You know? I thought this is one of those moments that you prepare for. You got to be the epitome of poise, handle it, and own it. There's nothing you can say that's going to put it any other place. It was just as catastrophic as any moment could be. But the thing was, had we won that game, we'd have won the next year. We'd have won again. Because we went back to the playoffs anyway. What? Again, after with all the turmoil. It was a great team, man. Yeah. We were a great team.
They were a great team. But that play call created a lot of frustration in the locker room and a lot of questions that a lot of those guys still want answers for, have made their own answers that are still annoyed at Pete Carroll for. To me, and this is coming from a Patriot fan, it's coming from someone that went nuts when Malcolm Butler had that interception. The play before, you gave the ball to Marshawn Lynch. He got down to like the 1 yard line. Dante Hightower bench pressed the offensive lineman and somehow tackled Marshawn Lynch. With the way that guy was bulldozing people, how don't you give him the ball when all you need is a yard or two? And for Pete Carroll to still not just say he was wrong, it's just like stupid when I hear that. Finally, here's Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12. He openly roots for Texas Tech when they're going to play Texas this year. Remember, this is Texas's final year in the Big 12 before they go to the SEC. This is courtesy of the Red Raider Club Luncheon.
Candidly, we were able to get Texas and Oklahoma out a year early. That was a big deal for us, and I think all of you. Okay? And coach, I'm not going to put any pressure on you, but I'm going to be in Austin for Thanksgiving. Okay? And you better take care of business like you did right here in Lubbock last year.
That's awesome, and you would not expect that from the Big 12 commissioner, but that's why Brett Yormark is great at what he does. Because a lot of other commissioners would say, you know, we wish Texas all the best. We're looking forward to their final year in the Big 12. He goes, you know, just basically when they're on the way out, slam the door on them and kick their ass again. That's good stuff. That's playing to the crowd. That's a good job by the commissioner looking at a team that has stayed compared to a team that's leaving the conference. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. Where can Trey Lance be going next? We'll give you some teams.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
No, thank you very much. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal, and law enforcement officers can tell if you're driving high. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI paid for by NHTSA. So, a big story today, by the way, you will hear from primetime Deion Sanders coming up in about 15 minutes right here. Exclusively on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can always give us a follow, Twitter, Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. But the biggest story today is that the 49ers have listed and they're going to name Trey Lance the third string quarterback. So you will have Brock Purdy be the starter, Sam Darnold be QB2, and then in at QB3 is Trey Lance. And it's kind of inconceivable with all that they gave up to get Trey Lance, which were 3 first-round picks, that they have so quickly fallen out of love with Trey Lance. And sure, Kyle Shanahan was talked into drafting Trey Lance. That was not his first choice. So that probably plays a factor into it. But with that being said, the guy has only started 4 games. And 2 of them last year, one was in a monsoon and the other one he got hurt. And I just wonder how bad it is behind the scenes. And it has to be really bad behind the scenes. And that's kind of something that I just wonder why. Because I talked to Trey Lance once, and I know you can't judge everything off one conversation, but I talked to Trey Lance a year before anyone knew who Trey Lance was, where this was a guy who was at North Dakota State, had a big year, and then COVID happened. And then he played one game and then gets to the NFL, not designed to start, and then gets an opportunity, then gets hurt. And I was so blown. I remember when Mikey B was here, my old producer. We were so blown away by the professionalism, the maturity of Trey Lance, and just how he conducted himself in the interview. He just sounded like a guy that was going to be a big-time quarterback. I know you can't base it all off that. But with that being said, we've seen busts before in the NFL, but usually the person does something to deserve to be a bust. In this case, Hickster, it's like Trey Lance hasn't been given that opportunity yet. It's four games. So unless behind the scenes this guy doesn't put in the work and he's a pain in the ass and he just looks so horribly, this guy can't get an opportunity to start. And I get it. Brock Purdy's going to be the guy. Brock Purdy should be the guy to start the season. But what he's done in the last eight games as a starter for the Niners, five in the regular season and three in the postseason. I know 49er fans are optimistic because they have a great team and Brock Purdy played well at the end of the year, but I can't guarantee that Brock Purdy's going to be the stud. And we've seen what Sam Darnold has been in this league. He's been given opportunities. He's known for mono and he's known for seeing ghosts. And when you list Trey Lance as a third-string quarterback, it shows you two things. You have no belief in him. And even if you try to trade him, what are you going to get back for him? Because there's one thing where John Lynch hypes up through basically begging right before the draft for some team to trade for Trey Lance. But then he talks positively about him, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. It's like something when you hype him up at least. But your actions speak louder than words. And the action today is he's the third-string quarterback. And it's not as if you have a stud starter and a backup that's been in the league forever and a guy that's highly respected. You have a guy that was Mr. Irrelevant that played well in eight games in Brock Purdy. You have a second guy that went to the Jets, was a failure. Went to Carolina, couldn't keep the starting job. And now you look at Trey Lance, this guy's had four career starts. Four! And kick him to the curb. They're done with it. It just does not add up to me. It's wild to me. And it's like something I've never seen. We've seen a ton of busts before, Hickey. I've never seen anything like this where a guy, after four career starts and injuries too, that quickly, where he's healthy, he's ready to go, and he can't even be a backup. Yeah, third string quarterback. Wild story. Really wild.
It's the biggest thing for him is just like that it's bad timing in the sense that he went to a Super Bowl ready team where you had a guy that was inexperienced, did not play a lot. The best way for him to get experience and be better is by playing.
And let me just interrupt you. If he went to some crappy team, we'd be saying, man, the line stunk. You had no wide receivers. It's like you can't win either way here.
It's a double-edged sword. But again, like the biggest thing for him is he was a project and a development. And that's a guy, okay, we think he could be with all these tools. This great quarterback, the only way to know for sure is by having him play and learn. And the 49ers, because they're so great, don't have the ability of time to see if he's going to work out. So even though he's third string, I don't think it's them not believing in him. It's them looking at him and saying, you are not a quarterback right now. You are a Super Bowl window right now. And if Sam Darnold is more developed, if he's more polished, doesn't matter what you gave up.
They don't believe in him whatsoever.
He gives us the better chance to win immediately. And that's what you owe Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel. That team's ready to win right now. They don't have the luxury of, let's throw this year in 2023 out, if you will, by seeing what Trey Lance can do or not.
And I'm not saying I'm advocating for him to be the starter week one. It should be Brock Purdy. He's healthy. But he can't be the backup? Like, that, to me, shows you that Kyle Shanahan just wants no part of this guy, and he has no belief in this guy. Now, as far as his next team, because I do think they're going to try to move him here. I don't think they should, but I think they will try to move him here. Ian Rappaport tweeted out, as the 49ers weigh options for Trey Lance, calling his hometown team the Vikings, who were rumored destination before the draft makes sense. Nothing is impossible, but Minnesota has a backup in Nick Mullins, a drafted QB in Jaren Hall. Post-draft, these deals are harder. If I'm the Vikings, this is going to be like a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick. I wouldn't do that if I'm the Niners, but if they're willing to do that, I would do that for Trey Lance, a guy that was a third overall pick and has not been given an opportunity, and Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but they don't want Kirk Cousins back next year, but he'll probably play himself into at least another year on that team or two. I would take a flyer on Trey Lance. What's the worst case? You get a fifth-round pick, you have a sixth-round pick up, and you get the guy in your facility, and you go, okay, 49ers are right on this guy. He stinks. I would run the risk there because Trey Lance was drafted third overall based all off potential, too. He's one of those guys that people are like, he could be 50% of Patrick Mahomes if he puts it all together. And that's what we do now in the draft. It's like we look for the next Patrick Mahomes, not even fully Patrick Mahomes because you can't find someone like that, but who's like 50% of him. And when you haven't seen the guy do it consistently or at a lower level, it should not be shocking when it gets to this point, but the shocking part is it's only been four games. And he's been hurt, too. So if I'm the Vikings, if I'm Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, Hickey, I call it the Niners. And there's a pass with him being in that organization, too, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah with the Niners.
Future, I mean, the only thing is he's not going to play. So what's the point? You don't know what you have until he plays.
Sure.
Put him in a game-like atmosphere. Kirk Cousins should be there. He's been healthy. Nick Mullins is a solid backup. Like, that's the only issue is the Vikings are kind of like the Niners, where they're going for it, if you will.
No, they're not,
no time for them to really give it a test run and see what he's got.
Yeah, I'm not saying play him this year. You're playing Kirk Cousins, but there's going to be a future after Kirk Cousins, and at least get him in your building for a fifth-round pick or a sixth-round pick. That's nothing for a guy that was just drafted in the third round. Look when in the third overall pick. Look when Sam Darnold got traded. The Jets got a lot back for him. I'm talking about a fifth or a sixth-round pick here, potentially. All righty. Other destinations. Raiders. I know they like that O'Connell kid, but if Jimmy G can't stay healthy, imagine reuniting them. That would be fun. I don't think the Falcons would do it. Maybe the Ravens. Would Miami do it? I know they have Mike White. And you have Tua there. I don't think you'd want to have that distraction with Tua Tagovailoa there. But I think there could be some teams interested because this is a guy who was a third overall pick, has barely been given an opportunity. And he could go for a fifth or a sixth round pick.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. We miss college football.
Bennett takes the snap and the shotgun, throws for the corner. Brock Bowers one-on-one. Caught! Touchdown! He ate him alive! Falls down into the end zone. Six more for Georgia.
We can't wait for the 2023 season.
Caleb Williams throws the fade in the corner. Oh, God! Touchdown, Trojans!
And we're counting down the days to kickoff.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
I said no.
Are we there yet?
What's wrong with your ears?
Here is your college football fix, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Welcome on in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go out to the guest line and welcome in the new head football coach at Colorado, 10 days away from their first game up against TCU, and that is the Pro Football Hall of Famer on behalf of California Almonds, and that is Coach Deion Sanders. Primetime, how you been?
How you doing? I'm really good, my man. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So my sister a few years ago moved out to Centennial, Colorado, so I'm hoping you bring the football team back. As I said, we're now 10 days away from the start of your football season. Just how has the job been going and how is the team starting to look?
Wonderful. If I could glance to the right now, I'm looking at a beautiful stadium, which is empty now, but I'm pretty certain it's going to be packed and sold out by the time we play our first home game. But I'm excited. I'm elated. The team is we had a great day of practice this morning. We practice the morning every morning. But it's looking good. I like what I see, and I see what I like.
Something that I liked, and sometimes college coaches don't do this, but they go to a place and they don't embrace the community and they lose sight of that. You did that right away. I love the social media content that you did, going to the restaurants and reviewing the restaurants and meeting with the people that run those businesses. Why was that so important to you, Coach, to embrace the community that you were joining?
Well, honestly, that's who we are anyway. I mean, that's our normal day. That's the way we move. That's the way we do things. And, you know, my son runs all our social media, so he's with me all the time anyway. I'm blessed to have three sons on campus and my youngest daughter on campus. So four of my five children are with me on a daily basis. And it's just wonderful. The people light up, you know, the energy, and they were anticipating what review would they get. You know, it was so hilarious. And now I tell you what, we have grits everywhere. We have grits everywhere in Colorado now, so it's easy to attain.
Well, how about that? You got to love it. Coach Deion Sanders here with us. You talked about your family that you're trying to do this together with. Your son, obviously, the starting quarterback, Shador Sanders. We all saw, or a lot of us saw, what he was able to do for 2 years at Jackson State. For people that weren't able to see the big-time numbers that he put up, what kind of quarterback are they going to see when Colorado kicks off this fall?
Well, Shador is extremely smart. He's extremely intelligent. He knows where to go with the ball, what to do with the ball. He protects the ball tremendously. And he's just a darn serious ball player, man. He takes this thing really serious, and he loves the darn game and lives the game. Both of my kids, Shiloh, the safety, he starts at safety. He's up here until 7, 8, 9 o'clock studying and watching film. So they really embrace the challenges that they have before them, but they love the darn game of football, which I adore.
To coach your sons, just what does that mean from the father perspective? Some coaches tell me they love it. Other coaches go, I wish they kind of went somewhere else.
We don't know no other way. I've coached them their whole entire life since the first day they put on cleats, since the first interest they showed in football. I've been their coach. I've only not coached Shiloh. I think it was 1 year when he was at the University of South Carolina. Then he came and transferred over with us at Jackson. So that's all we know. So I love it. And all my kids, I've coached all my kids at certain levels.
Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, the Pro Football Hall of Famer with us. Coach, everyone talks to me about culture and they never explain it. So I want you to explain how you envision, what is the culture of Colorado football going to be?
You know what? When I was at Jackson, everyone talked about culture, culture, culture. And I'm like, what is culture? Like, what is the definition of culture?
How you envision the program to run is what I would say.
That's your definition. Like a machine, like a well-oiled machine, like a darn California almond. You see how I'm getting it.
That's why you're one of the all-time great entertainers, Deion.
Like a California almond that helps me recover immensely, like that. But no, honestly, I want this to be an energetic place that is a pipeline to the NFL. Not only that, a pipeline to young men being great fathers, great men, you know, great siblings, great sons. Just a pipeline of success, and not just athletic success, just success in general.
Don't you worry. We'll talk about California almonds in just a moment. The head coach at Colorado, Deion Sanders, with us. Travis Hunter has also been someone that's name has been all over the place. He's a dog on both sides of the ball. For people that aren't familiar with him, using your coaching kind of analysis of it, what do you kind of see in the football player that Travis is?
I feel like Travis is the most exciting player in college football on both sides of the ball, either side of the ball. I feel like Travis Hunter will be drafted first round on both sides of the ball. Travis Hunter is a problem. He's not only a problem for the opposing teams, but he's going to be a problem when he goes to the next level to figure out what he's going to do. But he's going to tell you, I'm going to play both ways because that's just who he is. Very dominant, workaholic, studies his butt off, and he just has a passion to be great, a passion to be great, and he does not take plays off. He's a dog.
Some coaches, and I'm sure your background factors into this, but some coaches would say, just go be perfect on one side of the ball, forget the other side of the ball. Why haven't you done that?
Because that's who he is. Why would I change who the young man is and what he desires to be? It's my obligation and my job to enhance what he wants to be and really help him and lead him and serve as his navigational system through life. And that's what I'm trying to do. He just left my office probably about 10 minutes ago trying to steal some shoes or something in here, though. But that's just who he is. He's a young man. I call him a kid because he's like one of my sons. But he loves life and he loves the game so much. And I wish I could just impregnate all my kids with that attribute.
You're taking over a program and they need you. You only won one game. Everyone, we talk about it all the time. What can people expect from Deion Sanders and this Colorado team in year one? So since I have you here, Coach, But what do you say to that question?
Well, we're going to win. We're going to win. And we're going to minimize mistakes. We're going to play smart, tough, fast, disciplined football. The guy's going to display character throughout the entirety of the game prayerfully. But we're going to win. We're going to do some things that hadn't been done. We're going to get our players to the next level. It hadn't been a day that we practiced that it hadn't been NFL scouts here, and that's a blessing to these kids. When they look over and see a coach with a certain hat on representing the NFL team, they hadn't had that in quite some time, and now they see that. So they understand there's opportunity as well.
People have doubted you and people have questioned you your entire life. I've always been someone saying, I want to see Deion Sanders get a big college football job. I was hoping it was going to be in the SEC when it was all that speculation. But what do you say to the people that before even playing a game up against TCU go, ah, Deion Sanders, he's not going to work at Colorado?
Well, I think we've had this simulation all my life with doubt and ridicule and just ignorance and adolescence. So I embrace it. I adore it. I love it. I keep receipts from it. And I can't wait to display what we have. I'm like a kid on Christmas. I can't wait to open up this gift. I really can't.
I'll be looking forward to the clapback. There is no doubt about that. You'll probably be like someone used to work with Dave Portnoy at Barstool, popping the bottle of champagne.
Hey, I love my guy. Dave Portnoy is – I love him to life. He is one of my favorites because he's unapologetically himself at all times. And I love him for that.
Tell me what you're doing with California Almonds, Coach.
Oh, we having a good time. We shot a tremendous commercial. I start smiling because several of our kids on our team shot the commercial with me.
It's awesome.
And one of our assistant coaches. But to see some of those guys, and a couple of them were walk-ons, man, you got to understand, to see them, you know, shooting a national commercial and they're smiling, they're excited, they're happy and elated. It was darn believable, and I'm happy that California Almonds gave me that opportunity. But just overall understanding can help you recover from exercise. I'm trying to read my points to make sure I don't miss them. It can help you recover from exercise. Being in your prime starts with being consistent and working hard. That's what I've always done. I've always worked my butt off. I've always stayed in my prime, and I've always been smart about recovery. You got to understand, I've had 12 surgeries over the last 2 years. So recovery is everything for me. And I found out that eating a good amount of almonds helps me. I know you said, no, it can't. But no, it truly can. It has been studied and it truly can.
Well, I want to ask you one thing about the NFL before we let you run, because now you have the coaching background as well. Trey Lance, team that you played for, the 49ers, was announced today. He's going to be third on the depth chart. People are wondering what's going to happen with his future. Just what advice would you give to Trey Lance? Because it was only a few years ago, he was the third overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, you got to keep your head up. You got to hold on, because you could even understand how the season played out for them last year. And they went to the third quarterback, correct?
Yeah.
Right? I think the guy started
Brock Purdy.
Right. He started in the darn playoff game until he was injured. Like, come on. Stand still, stand firm, and work on your game. And if you truly believe you got it, invest in it. And I believe in the kid. I think the kid has it. He just has to put it to work and put it to use and let people see it consistently. But you can't count yourself out. You never know how this life or this game evolves.
And in that divisional round, it was the 49ers up against the Cowboys, two teams you know well. The Cowboys did a great job in the defensive side of the ball, but offensively – the Cowboys didn't deliver. If you were in that Cowboys locker room, would you look at Dak Prescott and say, okay, this is a quarterback that we could win a Super Bowl with?
Yeah, I like Dak. Matter of fact, one of the most famous Cowboys just walked out 2 minutes before we got on air, and that's Michael Irvin.
Wow.
So he just walked out, and he's in the hallway right now, clowning and having a good time. But he came to practice today and gave an unbelievable speech to the team. And we ensued had a great practice. But I like Dak, man. I think Dak is a winner. I think he's a proven winner. I just want them, that whole team, to go to the next level. I love Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is my guy, so I love Jerry.
Well, I'll let you go enjoy some time with the playmaker, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy some California Almonds as well. He's the head football coach at Colorado. Coach, good luck this year. We appreciate you doing this.
Hey, man. I appreciate you. It was an honor and a pleasure talking to you, man. I hope we do it again.
There he is, primetime. Coach Deion Sanders joining us from Colorado right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And that's all the time that we have today on a Wednesday edition of the show. Once again, big thanks to primetime Deion Sanders for joining us. Also like to thank Michigan star running back and the best running back in college football entering this season, Blake Corum, for stopping by, and former Minnesota Viking, now a part of their radio broadcast for a long time, and Pete Bursich doing a little first and goal previewing the Vikings inside of the NFC North for this upcoming season. Alrighty, we will talk to you tomorrow. Big thank you to each and every one of you for listening and tweeting the show. You can always follow me on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And a big thanks to my producer extraordinaire in Hot Take Hickey. Alrighty, we'll be back tomorrow on Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app. And how about this treat for you on a Thursday edition of the show? Pro Football Hall of Famer, legendary quarterback Steve Young will stop by. So we're very much so looking forward to that conversation. All righty, have a great rest of your Wednesday evening, everybody. We out. Bye-bye.